Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
This guy, man, let me tell you about my partner.
Wow!
Good morning.
I didn't do it. We haven't even started the show yet. What do you mean?
You always drop a little barb right at me just as we're coming up. You know, when I used to do Sports Talk Live,
yeah,
Tom Cooper, the great Tom Cooper, my producer, in my ear would say something just awful in my headset. Either something to get me to laugh, to like look in the camera and go, what did he just say? Yes, that was his goal, to get me to crack up as the show started.
Yes.
To look like a complete goof. Anyway, and you do the same thing, but it always makes me chuckle. Anyway, good morning. Welcome in on a rainy Thursday on the Cap J-Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Danny, Jeff, JR, the whole crew is here. It's Bears-Packers week. Yes, there's still more fallout from the White Sox getting knocked out. We've got the big Game 5 tonight. I can't wait to watch Dodgers at Giants. Mm-hmm. Go Giants. And we'll get into some of that, I'm sure. But Aaron Rodgers was incredibly engaging with the Green Bay media yesterday, talking about his career against the Bears and the city of Chicago and growing up a Cubs fan. It was cool. So my question to you, Jonathan, is as you look at this guy, and I thought he was acting like a diva. I told you that.
Sure.
When all the off-field, off-season drama was going on. And then I heard his explanation, and I'm like, I'm wrong. That guy's right. How do you not give him at least a phone call? Hey, what do you think of this? Or what do you think of that? None of it. Mm-hmm. I can't dislike that guy. Like, I despise the Packers.
Sure.
Cardinals, Packers, Notre Dame football. Those are the three on my hit list.
Mm-hmm.
I can't dislike that dude, man.
Well, here's a question. Did you dislike Brett Favre more than Aaron Rodgers?
I did.
Because, again, the Packers are the hammer and the Bears are the nail in this scenario, right?
Correct. There's something about Aaron as a – and, again, Brett's a great player. Great.
Sure.
Or was. There's something about Aaron that's more likable.
Hmm.
Not Brett. Do you know what I mean?
I understand. Well, they both have the competitive spirit. They've both hammered the Bears time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
But I it's interesting how you in particular can separate the quarterback that you like from the team that you hate. I think that's very odd. I mean, he is part of a team that continues to just pound the Bears time and time again, right?
Right.
The legacy continues in that regard, right? That smooth transition from Favre to Rodgers for this to happen.
Right.
But I think that's very unusual for you because, like, you can hate the Packers or have a strong dislike for the Packers, and I think many Chicago Bears fans do. But you have pushed Rodgers out by himself, say, you know, I like that guy, but I hate the team that he's on. That's where you stand this morning.
Right. Like, I hope he goes out and gets sacked 11 times and throws 15 interceptions and the Bears win 400-0.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. But in the end, he's going to be on any list of the 10 best quarterbacks that ever played the sport. Maybe 5 best. He's amazing.
Okay, so when did it change for you? I'll just tell you, from my standpoint, like, I don't like any team that faces the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a stronger dislike for the teams of the NFC North, clearly, right?
Right.
And even back in the day, I still don't like the Buccaneers when they were also in our division.
The creamsicle team.
Yeah, I didn't like them. Hey, Doug Buffon, what do you remember about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It was always a guaranteed win, Little John. He called me Little John,
right. Ironically.
So the point is, though, is that I don't like teams that face our team, especially in the division. But so when did it change for you? Because you've always been someone that really has a strong dislike for the Packers. And you mentioned to me before, like, this whole holdout thing and whether or not he's going to retire or go to Jeopardy or go play for the 49ers. And he said, that guy's a diva. And you know what? It was diva-like behavior.
It was.
Because he was not around for the team. He came in when he wanted to come in. So what changed there? You like him, but yet he was a diva before the season started.
Right, because I did not understand. Like, I was always raised by my late father. Hey, if you don't like the job, then quit and go do another job. But you play by the rules the boss sets down, period. And then as I've evolved and gotten older and had more responsibility, like, Aaron's the best, man. He's an amazing player. Yes, you should get some input. I'm not telling you that if he says, hey, I want you to draft Jonathan Hood out of Chicago State, and they go, no, we're drafting Danny Zetterman out of Kansas. He shouldn't be making the draft picks. But if you're going to take a quarterback in the first round, hey, Aaron, we just want to give you a heads up. You're 37. We have no plans on moving on from you, but there's this kid in the draft that we really like. We don't know what the future is.
Yeah.
We're going to get him. Just a heads up. Hey, Aaron, what do you think if we move on from, what was the speedster's name? The dude that went, they got rid of that he loved. Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson. Same thing with the quarterback coach. He's had a problem with a lot of people that's left and they didn't ask him.
Right. Like if they were going to move on from one of our producers, I would hope that the person running the station would call you and I in and go,
hi.
He doesn't work here.
He does work here.
All right. Till tomorrow. Whoever that person is would call you and I in, close the door and go, hey, we're thinking of making a change on your show. What do you think of JR?
Yeah.
We love JR. Please don't do that. And if they say, well, we have our reasons, there's nothing I could. They're the boss. But at least give us a heads up. Like, we don't want to walk into our 6 a.m. meeting and go, what happened on our show? And no one told us. And as I started to think about it that way, I was talking about it with my wife. She's like, the boss makes the decisions, but they do need to have your back and your input. And so as I thought about it, and then I heard him give his thoughts as camp started or as the season started. Right. Here's why I was upset. And he was very, very transparent. I'm like, I was wrong. That guy's right.
Well, look at it from this standpoint. I've always believed that if there's a veteran on your team, no matter what sport we're talking about, and that player is a positive player for you, that player is the face of the team, whatever, you should be able to have a conversation about, hey, we're thinking about doing this, and this can only enhance our chances to win. Mm-hmm. Or this person can be able to help you offensively. What do you think of that? Now, ultimately, I'll make my whole decision on what I want to do. This kind of goes back to the Deshaun Watson conversations that we've had, right? Before the fallout, before the women, before all the stuff that has been, you know, thrown at Deshaun Watson that he's been accused by. But before that, he was talking about certain coaches and things that he wanted for the team. And the Houston Texans were like, yeah, thanks for the advice, but we're going to go in this direction. But they didn't even ask him. He made some suggestions, and he was like, well, if you're not going to even listen to me, I'll just leave.
Right, and I think he, again, before all the nonsense and horrible stuff that he's accused of, he said I think I would really like for you to talk to Jonathan Hood from the Ravens. I've known him. He's really good. He might be. Last quote I heard from him was, I wasn't expecting them to hire exactly who I want. Just talk to them.
Yeah.
Talk to them. Maybe you'll go, you're right, that guy's awesome. Maybe you'll go, you know what? No, I'm hiring Jeff Miller. Okay, at least talk.
Right.
Like, that's just standard operating procedure.
So I can understand from Aaron Rodgers' standpoint, because this happens every year now. It could be a quarterback's coach. It could be a player, some ancillary player that we didn't think is important, but he thought was important in practice. And so the Packers have moved on. So from Rodgers' standpoint, he always felt like, I'm being ignored here. Like, I'm the face of this bleeping franchise.
Correct.
And I've been leading us to all these victories. You won't listen. So I can understand from that standpoint. But here's what I can't separate. He still plays for a team I don't like.
Agreed.
Like, when his career is over, I'll be like, yep, Hall of Famer, top 10 quarterback I've ever seen, top 3 quarterback I've ever seen with the Green Bay Packers. I could do that. But, man, I still don't like that guy. I understand from the business standpoint what he's saying, but I still don't like him. The commercials, the everything else, I still don't like him. I respect what he does. Clearly, you have no other choice. I mean, he's one of the greats, right?
Yeah.
But he still hammers our team. I don't like that.
So, like, I look at LeBron.
Yep.
I know the Cavs are like a speed bump. Whatever. They were good when he was there, sure. And then they're crappy again.
They got marketing. Hang on now. Watch it.
Look out. Watch it. Careful now.
Hey, side note, may I approach, Your Honor?
You may, brought to you by Enken Law, the law voice of the Cap J. Hood Show.
Hey, Bulls fans, do you know what the Bulls think of marketing? They traded him in the division. Go ahead, Cap.
Yeah, exactly. We're not worried.
Right.
So,
yeah.
LeBron pays through his foundation for any kid from the Akron schools to go to college if they want to go to University of Akron. I got you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The money that guy gives to charity, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't hate on a guy like that. I can't. And he's top 3 players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hate on him. I can hate the team that he plays for when he comes in and beats our ass in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure.
I just can't hate Aaron Rodgers. I can't.
But even though you hate the team he's on, that's tough.
Correct.
That's quite the conundrum that you've laid out there.
It is. It's a conundrum for
mm-hmm.
me. It is. Like, I can't stand the Green Bay Packers. Can't stand them. But that's how I was raised.
I get it. I just don't like any team within the division that plays the Bears and the other opponents as well because, hey, it's the team that's taking on my favorite NFL team. The Bears, right?
Right.
But when Aaron Rodgers, I respect what he's done. I just don't like it, especially against the Bears, right?
Right.
And also, I would say that Aaron, when we look at his career, there's a lot of underachievement there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Brett Favre in that same regard, right? You got your one Super Bowl championship.
They each got one.
But a lot of bounce. A lot of bounces out in either early or the middle or on the precipice of getting to the Super Bowl. So there's some underachievement there as well. But this is a good question for Bears fans on how they look at Rodgers and the Packers. Can you separate the two like you're doing?
Well, we're going to play some audio from Aaron that he talks about Chicago, our fans, what he watched on TV growing up, who he cheered for, an experience that he had walking down Michigan Avenue, all of it. And after you hear it, I think it might change your perspective a little bit. Yes, I hope Khalil Mack sacks that guy 16 times and Robert Quinn 10 more. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and they still beat us 17-10.
Yeah, probably. I just dislike anything about the Green Bay Packers because they're our rival.
Yeah.
That also is the ultimate sign of respect.
Yep.
Because if you're just a speed bump, like, you don't hate the Kansas City Royals. Because other than their one little blip in 2015, you can't stand them. I mean, you don't care about them.
I really couldn't care less now.
Now, the Minnesota Twins, that's a different story because they beat your ass a lot. That's the ultimate sign of respect. If I despise, like the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
That's the number one on my list. I despise the St. Louis Cardinals. But it's also the ultimate sign of respect because they've won 11 rings.
Yeah.
And they beat my team so many times by playing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
Yeah, I get it.
312-332-3776. So let's get into this. Do you hate the Packers or do you hate Aaron Rodgers? And can Justin Fields handle the spotlight we'll get into today as well? That's our opening drive brought to you by Northwestern Football. Chicago's Big Ten team season and single game tickets always available at nusports.com. With the great Jonathan Hood, I'm Cap. 312-332-3776. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
18 with Hoodie. I'm Cap. Grab a cup of coffee and spend your morning with us. We're here weekdays 7 until 10. Then it's Carmen Yerk. Then it's Greeny. Then it's Waddle and Sylvie. And then it's Black and Abdallah. Bears fans, do you hate Aaron Rodgers? Or do you hate the Green Bay Packers? Like, I was raised to hate the Packers. And one of my really good friends who played for me when I coached at Northern, a guy named Carl Armato, his dad, Sam, was a big man. He was built very similar to you. He got a brand new couch. He's watched. Do you remember the game where Chester Markle kicked a game-winning field goal and the Bears blocked it?
Yeah.
And he scooped up the block and ran it in the end zone?
Mm-hmm.
This guy got so mad. His couch was one day old. Big man. He jumps up. He's so excited they blocked the kick. He sees the guy running to the end zone with the block. He crashes down on the couch, and it snaps right in two. Destroys the frame. Kicks his refrigerator, brand new.
Yeah.
Dents the door of it. His wife's like, Sam, are you out of your mind? It's the Packers.
Yeah, you can understand.
Right.
Yeah, you can understand. Now, there's always levels of anger with that, but when they continue to just pound you over and over again, there's some built-up frustration there, so I get that. That question, by the way, that you asked is also on Cap J Hood on Twitter.
Yes.
And Instagram, asking the question about whether what do you dislike more, is it Aaron Rodgers or the Packers? And so, again, I respect what he's done. I just don't like what he's done against the Bears. That's my whole deal. Danny?
Gentlemen, I think it's important to point out that the wording on the question on the poll is saying dislike instead of hate, because JR, Meller, and myself were very sensitive to the fact that Cap says he doesn't use the word hate. However, in the first 20 minutes of the show, he's used it 9 times. So we're wondering if we misuse the word dislike for no reason. We were being sensitive to you, Cap, and your aversion to the word hate. However, you seem to be throwing it around freely today.
Back to you, Cap.
I think, did I say I hate?
You did say hate.
Yeah.
We're keeping a tally.
So now what? What do we do with that now?
Okay.
We're kind of lost here in the production center.
Yeah, we don't know what to do now.
I hate the Packers. What do you want me to do? Sue me.
Okay, but we're just going by what you said that you don't hate anymore, that you've washed it out of your vocabulary.
Except for the Packers and the Cardinals and Notre Dame football.
Okay, so now we have an addendum now. Now it's different now, Danny.
Basically, like every human, you do hate.
Yes.
Let's just get it out there. Yes. You hate. You use the word hate.
You're not the matote, except for the Packers and the Cardinals.
No, I tune out all the matote.
They're part of the matote. Are they not?
No,
yes,
it's
yes, they're
different.
A bunch of haters.
The matote is, as the ancient Toltecs said in the book The Four Agreements, it's the thousand voices in your head that go, you shouldn't do that. You got to conform. You shouldn't do that. Oh, Jonathan, you shouldn't chase your dream, because what do you mean? You should just get a normal job and live a 9-to-5 and have the white picket fence and don't ever have an opinion that will ruffle anyone's feathers. F that. That's not who I am. So that's why it's tattooed on my arm.
I see. What was that now? The four what?
The four agreements.
Yeah, I saw them at the sound bar not too long ago. Very good. They had two sets. It was amazing.
My God. Let's go to the phones. No, you know what? I want to play this first.
Oh, I see.
Here's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Part of a team that you hate, by the way.
Aaron Rodgers on the city of Chicago.
Jay Cutler.
One.
Kyle Orton.
Wrong one. Rex Sorry. Christmas. Hold on.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Hey.
Jeez. I hate when you do that. Do you hate when you do that?
No, I don't. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Jay Cutler.
Oh, they're both
you
the
did
same
it again.
Cut.
Do you hate that you did it again?
They're both the same cut.
You know what? That is
I
not,
hate when Meller messes up.
That is not on Cap. Hold
Cap,
on, we'll fix that.
Do you hate when Meller messes up?
I dislike when he messes up.
How about you go with your first mind, Matote, and go to the phone line until we get this straight, huh? How about that?
Let's do that. Jeff. Hey, Jeff. What's up, Sparkles?
Hey, man. Listen to you guys all the time.
We appreciate you.
We were actually, it's funny you're having this conversation. We were talking about this last night at dinner because my daughter's 7, Enjoy. My son's 2, and he can't, every night I read him, and it brings a tear to my eye because the only book he wants me to read is Let's Go Bears. and stuff. And he like points at the thing. He's like, "Go Bears," and stuff. And we get to the page where in the book, and of course in the book they have it against the Packers, and I'm like, "Stinky Packers," and stuff. And now all he says is "Stinks," and stuff. And we start him off at a right age. I mean, when my daughter was the same age, I remember one time I took my kids to Walmart and we were going to the grocery store at like Sunday morning. And of course, every guy that's in there is wearing a jersey because they're doing grocery shopping for the game. And I remember my daughter at like 3 years old looking at somebody, didn't even know, was like, "It's a stinky Packer," and stuff in the middle of the grocery store.
Wait like, a minute.
She just says stuff.
Love it. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you. That's Have a awesome. Great day, kid.
How about that? That kid already knows about Jim Finks.
There you go. Here's Aaron Rodgers on Chicago.
I mean, I don't think they're extremely happy with me. They're not very cordial most of the time, but I respect that. I mean, I respect that it's a great sports town. They got two baseball teams, a basketball team that I grew up cheering for. I don't know how it was for you guys, but when I was growing up, one of the few channels we had on TV was WGN. And so you got to watch like Cubs baseball, you know, and some Bulls basketball games for whatever reason. So you naturally became a fan, I think, because I was a big sports fan. And that was the only thing that was on TV. For years, you know, when we played down there, I would, the night before, go on a long walk and often walk to dinner. Mastro's is where I went to dinner for years and years and years in a row. And on one of those walks, you know, a random mom and son, even though I'm all bundled up, you know, wearing a sweatshirt, it's freezing, and a, you know, winter hat and stuff, they recognized me, and we walked for, I don't know, 4 or 5 blocks together. So that was a nice chance meeting. But I've always, you know, enjoyed the city, enjoyed the fans, even though they haven't really enjoyed me. That's fine. I get it. Maybe there'll be a little more love when my time comes to an end playing here, but I do have a lot of respect for the city and the sports fans that got there.
Could you see yourself ever playing there when your time comes playing here?
No.
Hard no.
It's just not going to happen, man.
Just not going to happen, man.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, so we can cross that topic off.
But he gets the rivalry, why they are not fans of his, because what he does to us all the time.
Yes.
When was the last time we beat them in Chicago? Was that Mitch to clinch the division in 18?
I believe that's the case.
That's correct.
24-17?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that's the case. And by the way, just a note to Aaron Rodgers. The reason why the Bulls were on Channel 9 for some reason, because they had the weekend package, Aaron. That's why it was on 9. As we call those the Larrabee games.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Those were the Larrabee games.
Thank you very much.
With a lot of John Mengel splashed in.
John,
so, right? Did he do the color?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, I think he did.
No, he did the DePaul games with Dan Rowan. But I that's reason why. So he's kind of a Chicago sports fan too? Well, definitely a Bulls fan, if nothing else, right?
And a Cubs fan.
I mean, he's clearly calling this the last dance, and we chided him for that. Like, it's not the last dance, pal. You didn't win 5 championships trying to get your 6th.
Correct.
This is not the last dance. But he likes the Bulls so much, that's why he calls this last year with the Packers the last dance.
Gutekunst, Jerry Krause.
He's insane for saying
insane.
That. Insane.
Gutekunst hasn't won 1 ring. Krause won 6.
Right.
Let's go to Susie. She's in Palatine. Hey, Susie, what's going on?
Hi, guys. First of all, huge fan of you guys.
We appreciate
you. I listen to you every morning on my way to work, and you make my day. You make me laugh, so I got to get that out.
Thank you.
Second of all, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been going to games regularly since 1987, which was the only year that I went to a Packer game in Green Bay, the one and only. We lost on the last play of the game. Mm-hmm. Don Majkowski, we thought, threw over the line of scrimmage.
He didn't.
I'm sure you remember the game. We lost. My friends and I couldn't get out of there fast enough, only to have beer spilled down our backs, thrown at us. So I've had a long history of hating the Packers, but I hate Aaron Rodgers more than I hate the Packers.
How about that?
And I'll be at the game on Sunday in Section 219 and Row 8 and hoping for a Bears win with a big group of people I'm going with. So I hope we win on Sunday. It would make my actually make my Bears year.
That would be amazing if they win. And I do truly believe they have a shot in this game. Like, there was a lot of games where I went, we're going to get the ever-living you-know-what beaten out of us.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, you know what? I do, too. I've got a good feeling, and I'm going with a bunch of people, and we're going to have a big tailgate down in Burnham Harbor, and we're going to just bring it this week.
Well, you have a great time.
You have a wonderful lot. If I could just get a word. You have a great time, Susie.
Thank you. We will. We always do.
See ya.
Bye.
Did your dad ever go to the games?
No, couldn't afford that. Of course not. We had a nice black and white TV. Why would we need to go to the games?
Did he go to Sox games?
Yes, of course.
That was his number one team.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. My dad was not. I think he took us to see Dallas at the Bears in like 1971. When they had just moved, whatever year they moved into Soldier Field, I remember, boys, I got 3 tickets. We're going to the Bears game. That was like a huge deal.
Boom.
Huge.
Yeah.
Especially
Dallas, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, that still was a name even back then. That seeing the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember Dallas used to have their offensive linemen, how they'd stand up and then go back down.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't. I got to ask old recruits why they do. Nobody does that anymore. Remember the Cowboys? That was like their big thing.
Kind of a timing thing, right?
Yes.
It being uniformity, being together.
Right.
I can understand. Boy, if you're on the road with a loud environment, I think that's actually not a bad idea to do that now. It's that and holding hands to make sure that you don't jump off the line of scrimmage.
Correct.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good question. Could you ask Olin? I'm curious now.
I'm going to text him right now.
You don't even get that anymore in football.
No, you never see it.
Stand up, down.
Right.
It's like a little exercise.
Like they'd be set, place. Then they'd stand up, then they all come down again together.
That's interesting.
It's cool. All right, we are still digesting Hoodie's White Sox losing to the Astros. Will Tony be back in 2022? And what did he say that will decide his fate? Plus your Bear Packer calls. It's all coming up next.
Take that.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
With Hoodie, I'm Cap, 312-332-3776. And we'll get into this White Sox stuff in a moment. Tony La Russa said that somebody will have a say in whether he comes back or not, beyond his bosses. So we'll get into that in a second. Let's grab Allison. She's in Downers Grove. Hey, Allison, what's going on?
Hi.
How are you guys?
I'm okay. So I wanted to give you guys the opposite perspective. I'm a Packers fan, and I dislike the Bears. But growing up, Walter Payton was the running back here in Chicago. So did I dislike the Bears? Yes. But did I respect Walter Payton? Yes, I did.
So do you still hate the Bears, or because we've been so pathetic that you just kind of take pity on us?
A little bit of both.
You can understand, but you had respect for Walter Payton. He was the best player on the team for a long time, so I understand that.
He was the only player on the team.
Hey, wait a minute. Chiggets was there.
Well, you had Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael on there, so.
Yep, no question. All right. Well, we appreciate your perspective. It's kind of exactly what we're dealing with now. Have a great day, okay?
Thanks, you too. Bye.
All right, see ya. One more. We'll get Pete. Pete in Orland Park. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. How are you? You guys are great together. Let me say that first.
Thank you, Pete.
Packer fan saved my life. I had a liver transplant 11 years ago, and I double-listed, ended up in Madison, Wisconsin. I got a liver from a Packer fan. After I went back to the games, I went to the championship game against Green Bay, and of course we lost. So I was in contact with the donor family, and I called them up, and I said, I'm a season ticket holder for 40 years. I went to the Packer game. Her mom goes, well, at least the party you went home happy.
Exactly.
It was like 8 months after her daughter passed away.
Mm.
So I've been sharing that story with a lot of people. NBC Sports did a story on Football Night in America, Packer fan saves Bear fan. And like I said, I've been season ticket for 40 years. If you look that story up, you'll see it. It was on Football Night in America. But somebody says, do you root for the Packers? I go, no. Since I got Packer blood in me, no, I don't. I still root for the Bears, and I always will. Only when it'll help the Bears will I root for the Packers.
Hey, man, have a good day. Stay healthy.
All right. Stay good, you guys. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate you. So
you were saying about the White Sox.
Yes, I want to get to that because I want your perspective. If you were the owner of the team,
yeah,
forget the history.
Okay, forget the history. I get it. Okay.
Forget that you fired Tony in 1985 or 6 or whatever it
we
was.
We don't talk about it. It's the past.
Evaluate the job he did this year.
Well, I think that it started off rocky and that he pulled the nose up. Obviously, when you get to the playoffs, that's a rung on the ladder of success. They did not underachieve. They kind of stayed the same. But the point is, though, is that clearly there are a number of players that feel strongly that Tony was an upgrade from Rick Renteria. And because he's a Hall of Fame manager, I think he garnered respect. I mean, a lot of young players probably don't even know Tony La Russa.
Correct.
He's been out of the game for so long. He comes back. And I think there was an adjustment for Tony. There were some mistakes made. There's mistakes made by any manager. I get that. But it's glaring when you feel that you're on the precipice of something special, maybe getting to the World Series, winning a championship with this group. So I would say that if I'm the manager, if I'm Jerry, I say, you know what, just run it back. Just make a few changes and put Tony in place to try to win this thing.
I feel like they need to go add. I don't think they can get him because I think he'll stay in L.A. But if he's available, I 3-year deal, Max Scherzer, let's go. Can you imagine him fronting your rotation?
Oh, absolutely. I wonder how Jerry feels about that, though. I do, because I thought that the Sox, for the most part, went all in, pushed all the chips in the middle of the table. Like, you know what? Let's try to take care of our bullpen. Let's try to add some hitting here and there. I think that they were all in. I wonder how much more would Jerry be willing to spend?
Well, if Bob Nightingale is accurate on what he said yesterday, and as Meller so perfectly put it, Bob's exceptionally accurate on the White Sox.
And Dusty Baker.
And Dusty.
Yep.
He has great relationship with both organizations. They're going to pick up the option for $16 million on Craig Kimbrell and then trade him. That's $16 million of payroll flexibility, and you were nowhere near the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
Mallard, what was their payroll this year? Because the luxury tax was 208.
I don't know the number. I believe the White Sox were 17th in baseball. Let me get it, though. I'll pull it up.
Okay, so there is plenty of room that if Max Scherzer said, yeah, I'll come. I'll sign a 3-year, $100 million deal. Would you do that?
If the Sox are willing to pay it, sure. You just want to solidify that starting rotation. What underachieved more? The offense or the starting pitching?
Starting pitching. By a mile.
Okay. Now, this is a team that only gave you singles a lot in the first couple of games, right?
Correct.
And then they broke through on Sunday.
Yep.
And then they were anemic again. The up and down nature of the offense concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also can make an argument and say, Cap, that's just a young team that's maturing.
Agreed.
I can make that case because I'm not looking for wholesale changes with the lineup. It is what it is. You've got Abreu, who is this era's Konerko. You've got Robert. You've got Aloy. You know, you've got young players around. So, to me, in Moncada, so I would say the core still is tight. Mm-hmm. They just got to mature and get better in these big spots. See, they've got 2 years of this now. Next year, I expect better.
See, if you told me that I was the GM and Jerry said, hey, I'll even go in the tax. I'm not saying he would. I'm saying if he would.
Right.
Carlos Correa at short, and I'm moving Tim Anderson to second.
If he could do that, sure.
We were talking about that with Carm yesterday.
Sure.
That's a massive upgrade.
Sure.
Massive. You upgrade second base because T.A.'s an all-star, and Carlos Correa is a better player than him.
This is I'm saying this now on October 14th. I might change my mind by the time we get to spring training. I could take some of the issues defensively with this team if I know that I've got more consistent offense. Because if you can hit and pitch around it, I can take it. As much as it bothers me to see how bad the Sox can be defensively, especially behind home plate, if you can hit around it, Cap, and succeed, I'm good with it.
I don't disagree with you. I do think they have to add another bat.
For sure.
And then they have got to go get a top flight starter. Now, am I giving Robbie Ray 7 years at $30 million a year? No, I'm not.
I just want to make sure that the White Sox understand. And so the LaRusso topic about whether or not he's going to come back or not, of course he's coming back. And I like Tony being sheepish, you know, after the loss and saying, well, it's up to the players if I want. You're coming back. Don't worry about it, pal.
Okay, here is Tony on what you're just addressing. First of all, he was asked, do you intend to be back next season?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to talk about myself. The process I've used, once I had a little security, did for 6 years. Do they want you back? Because you don't want to come back and get a contract like that. I just leave if they don't want you back. If they say yes, and you ask the players. They should choose who they want to manage. If you get both of those, then you check yourself.
All right.
Far left,
we have more to do.
All right, that's okay.
Okay, he also goes on in another lengthier cut with a question in it that asked the players if you should be back, and he said, once I got a little bit of security, where he had some success, and he had a little money in his pocket, he said, that's the philosophy I've always used. Does the owner want me back?
Yeah.
Does the GM want me back? Do my players want me back?
Yeah.
And they always have.
Yeah, that's not, to me, that's not even a question, because you don't want to have like a third manager in 3 years.
So what did you think about when he said, yeah, do the players want me back? That's exactly what Aaron Rodgers is talking about. I want a little bit of say.
Yeah. I don't know, Cap. I mean, he's got to know that no matter what the players say, he's got the backing of the owner. I'm not even sure why he said that. Like, he's going to have the backing of the owner. The owner is the guy that brought him in. So I just thought that's just odd. Like, I'm not even sure, like, what are the players going to say? I don't want this guy back. Well, you know what Jerry's going to say? He's coming back. And that'll be the end of that.
Correct.
I mean, so I'm not even sure why he said that. My focus is on how this ball club can get better. And I also want to point this out again, and we mentioned this during the regular season as well with the White Sox. Tony La Russa is a Hall of Fame manager. He's seen a lot of things. And my concern was of the inexperience at the pitching coach spot and Ethan Katz. Does Katz have the autonomy to not overrule La Russa, but be able to suggest something that La Russa may not see? With Don Cooper, it probably would have been, you know, head-to-head.
Well, he and Ozzy ended up butting heads at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get it, right? Like, Katz is new, a little bit of a neophyte in that spot. And so when La Russa made some controversial, odd pitching changes or non-changes, I wonder what Katz had to say about that. That matters. The coaching staff being able to come together and be able to come up with something that makes sense. Some of those pitching changes, kind of like the Rodon's a perfect example, the last game we just saw, right? You got to pull him out of there. Why is he still there? He's in there, I think, one batter too long.
Well,
right?
So Steve Stone made a point that, remember on 0-2, he threw the fastball that Correa whacked into left field? Stoney believes that he threw the fastball because he did not trust that Grandal could block a breaking ball in the dirt.
Well,
if you can't throw your best pitch because your catcher can't block it, that's a problem.
Stone has been on Grandal all year.
He has.
So we haven't talked about that.
He would trade him in a second.
He's been negative on Grandal all year. And by the way, rightfully so. Again, you'll take the on-base percentage in the offense, but that guy's a DH squatting behind home plate. That's what he is.
All right, the Cubs have added to their front office. While the White Sox are looking to take the next step, the Cubs are trying to get on solid ground. We'll tell you who he is, and is he the missing link to their biggest problem? Next.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hope your day's off to a good start. Mine is, because I get to work with that guy, Jonathan Hood.
Danny Zetterman.
Yep. Jeff Miller. J.R. Strauss.
morning coffee.
Take that.
So yesterday, just to pull the curtain back, we had to work upstairs. They were doing some maintenance here in the studio.
Uh-huh. It looks the same, so apparently nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Still smells like coffee.
So I'm like, I got to go. I got to go do the teas. I go downstairs. I'm down here. And I'm like, and JR's like, try to be on time, would you? I come down here. It's 7:51, 7:52, 7:53, and I'm on at 7:54:30.
Eastern, yep.
Central. And
wait. In JR's defense, he said 7:54 comes at the same time every day.
Eastern. Correct. So I made sure I was down here.
You need to point out to the audience that Randy Merkin sent an email on Tuesday night.
I was getting there.
I sent a text in the morning saying, hey, don't forget, gentlemen, we are upstairs today.
Correct. Cap. So I come running out of our meeting. I go downstairs, and I'm like, I don't know how to pod this microphone up. And I'm standing here now at 7:54. Here it comes.
Eastern.
And
Central.
And there is...
What time do we all come on to?
Yeah, I said 7:54. It was 6:54.
Oh, Central. Sorry. You're right, Hoodie. I'm wrong. 6:54.
It is 7:54 Eastern, 6:54 Central.
Correct. So I'm down here going, I have no idea how to make this control panel work so I can do the tease.
How long have you been in radio? So far, you've said you need to pot it and a control panel.
And gave the wrong time.
The board.
And gave the wrong time. All the terms you're using are incorrect. You've been in radio for 68 years.
Well, that's what they call them at GN, though.
Correct. Thank you.
You were saying about the Cubs GM.
Anyway, I'm down here trying to do the tease, and of course I can't get on, and I hear Hoodie come on. So then JR fires on me in the meeting. By the way, make sure we're downstairs today. Coffee?
And then you missed the tease.
I did.
It's amazing. What in the world? Good God. You were saying about the Cubs GM.
So the Cubs...
I don't know why you're trying to stick your beak into my Sox business with some Cub news.
We've got big news here.
You do?
Carter. It's such big news. I will point out, when I do show prep every morning, one of the sites I visit every day is the Chicago Tribune's sports website. Zero stories this morning on the Chicago Tribune's website about this new GM you're about to mention.
Front page of the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
I'm not in Cleveland.
You know, Chicago Cubs hire Cleveland Guardians executive, that's what the Indians used to be called, Carter Hawkins as their new general manager. The Indians have done a good job at two things, grooming starting pitchers and front office executives for other teams.
Carter what? What's the name?
Carter Hawkins.
Uh-huh.
Connie's kid.
No, LaTroy's kid.
LaTroy's kid.
Uh-huh.
Hawkins is 37, and he is renowned as a great pitching infrastructure guy. He's a former catcher at Vanderbilt, and so he is. The Cubs have been the worst team in baseball at developing pitching. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I read the same thing you read.
Horrific. And so this dude's coming in, and he is going to overhaul how we develop our pitching. Now, if he could bring, I don't know, Shane Bieber with him, that might help.
No, that's not the. That's
Tristan McKenzie.
No. Well, now you're talking. That guy is all arms and legs. That guy needs a Rick and Benny sandwich.
Yes.
He's like 125
I got to have one of those. I've never had one. I got to have one.
So good.
That's what I've heard.
I can't do it, but I can introduce you to you because of Sota. So, but point is, though, is that, no, it's not about developing and getting quality free agents. It's about developing pitching in the minor leagues.
Correct. So when these guys come up at 22 and they're making no money, you can then spend somewhere else because guess what? I got four dudes that are all young, cost control, and can pitch.
You develop your pitching, you're right back in the playoffs.
Yes.
So and everyone can't be the Dodgers and develop and be able to spend money at the same time.
Correct.
It's amazing how they do that, right?
Correct.
So, but the Cubs, from their standpoint, so your building blocks are Wilson Contreras.
Yep.
Nick Madrigal.
Yep.
And then what?
Brennan Davis, you think, who's coming up as your number one prospect, top 15 in the game.
Yeah.
You've got other little pieces like Nico Horner they'll use around the diamond.
Sure.
You don't have a third baseman that you know. I mean, I don't think Patrick Wisdom's the long-term answer.
What do you mean?
I don't think Frank Schwindel is the long-term answer.
I don't understand, man. The Cubs, they're as Randy Merkin told me, they're learning how to play the right way.
You need talent.
That's what he said they're learning to play the right way under Ross.
Well, that's Merkin.
Well, I'm just telling you. That's what he told me. He said they're learning how to play the right way.
Great. I'd rather they play the wrong way from this point on and just have so much GD talent that they just bludgeon people.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Teflon Ross is a guy that's going to get an extension here, and he's going to teach him exactly how it's supposed to be. Awesome.
He actually deserves an extension. I think he's very good.
Extension cord, not an extension. Are you kidding me? I thought it was about winning around here. Are you kidding me?
He won the division last year.
Yeah, so did the trainer. Next.
Shot or no shot is coming up in exactly Ross. 2 minutes, and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Watch us live and join the chat. Sponsored by Xfinity. Shot or no shot. 2 minutes.
Take that.